Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the iconic questions of fictional journalist Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and apply them to modern life and love. You are joined by Toot Toot, Juno Dawson, and Beep Beep, Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan!
Hi! I'm so excited.
I have missed you.
In the however many months it's been, we've seen each other IRL once, haven't we?
We did. We went for a very, very Carrie Bradshaw-approved brunch.
A hun brunch.
A hun brunch at the Red Rooster in Brighton, which is Zoella's favourite. She's always in there.
Yeah, shout out to the Red Rooster. Very good plant-based burgers.
Oh, the plant-based burgers are so delicious.
Yeah.
As we record this, we're not presently in national lockdown, so treat yourself to a little trip to the Red Rooster in Brighton.
Yeah.
With your group of six friends.
So, should we jump straight in? We're on season 3, episode 1, where there's smoke.
We're back. It's season 3 as well of So I Got to Thinking. So I'm so glad we followed this very logical system of basing our seasons around their seasons.
Yeah, and also basing our seasons by the seasons of the year. It's autumn. Yeah, we're in a new season. That was quite a sort of tenuous link.
But again, of course, remember Sex and the City didn't experience an autumn until season 4.
That's true. We should say hi to new listeners. I think we've probably got some new listeners.
That's true. I've been keeping my eye on our Acast figures, and during the hiatus, we've had a fairly steady listenership of about 300 listeners a day. Mm. So even when we're not releasing new episodes, thank you so much for listening. And if you're just joining us at this stepping in point, you are welcome as ever.
Yeah, hi.
Dylan, let's have a potted synopsis.
So, Where There's Smoke kicks off with, in my opinion, one of the most iconic scenes in any TV show ever, which is the four of them go to Staten Island on the ferry for Carrie to judge a fireman beauty pageant.
Indeed.
And then after that amazing first foray, it goes into their various storylines. Samantha explores her fireman fantasy.
She does.
Charlotte dates a white knight who turns out to be a white nightmare.
Oh, very good.
Which kind of, the phrase white nightmare kind of sums up a lot of Charlotte's escapades, really.
It really does.
Carrie dates, what is his name? Bill Kelly, the politician. Mm-hmm. Played by John Slattery. Miranda has laser eye surgery, doesn't she?
She does, yes. Which I find, this is such a nothing point, but I find it really fascinating that she gets laser eye surgery from a man who wears glasses.
Yeah, oh, well
spotted. Why wouldn't he have done his own eyes?
Well, he said, believe me, it works as well. And she was like, yeah. Oh, yes. But why was he wearing...
I'm so genuinely confused about that.
What a funny thing to pick up on.
Yeah. So there's some Miranda-related food for thought. The question that we have to answer this week is, do women just want to be rescued?
Yeah.
Which doesn't particularly fit with the rest of the episode. But knowing what I now know about television writing and writing for television, this is your classic season opener. So a lot of things have been thrown in there to kind of cause a big splash. Like, this was quite a noisy episode in some ways.
Yeah.
Particularly the stuff around Samantha. I think that was put in there to titillate, in that we see an awful lot of both Samantha and her fireman, Beau.
Yeah.
And did you know, Dylan, that this caused great scandal at the time?
Well, was it? I'm guessing it was the scene where he's like fucking her against the fire engine.
100%. The fire department of New York had granted HBO certain access.
Right.
Perhaps having not read the script. Now, I don't believe that because things, you know, it's so hard to get anything signed off that I do not believe that somebody at the New York Fire Department hadn't pre-approved the storyline. But when it went out, they made perhaps a slightly kind of disappointingly predictable huff and moan about the notion that one of New York's finest would be shagging a woman while he was on the shift.
Right.
And they were very upset and logged like an official complaint with HBO.
Oh,
but
dear.
Even more interesting, and I find this genuinely intriguing, was that Michael Lombardi, who played Mr. July, Ricky, was an actual fireman.
Oh, for the FDNY. Yeah.
It was life imitating art. He had featured in a New York Fire Department sexy calendar, which inspired the storyline. And somehow they decided to cast him.
I love that.
In basically playing himself, which I really like, which kind of explains why his performance is quite robotic. But I love that they've leaned into it. I really love that sweet scene where he's like, my sisters were like, I've never done anything like this. And I was like, I've never done anything
And
like
you can
this.
See Samantha sort of like nodding along with her eye glazing like, over like, yeah.
Please stop talking.
But also I want to have sex with you, so carry on.
Please keep talking.
Kim Cattrall, oh, it's just so stunningly beautiful in that scene with like the green halter neck and her hair like the Marilyn Monroe hair.
Mm-hmm.
The scene in the bar. that scene, do you know what? I think this episode, bold statement time, this might be my favourite episode of Sex and the City.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the scene in Staten Island is wonderful.
Just,
I mean, Charlotte's drunkenness.
The four of them are dancing. Carrie's got a whistle. They're drinking Staten Island iced teas. Miranda says, hello, I'm drunk. Charlotte gets wasted. Samantha goes home with a fart. It's just, it's basically like everything you want from a night out with your friends, isn't it? Like, it's so good and they all have such a good time and I just live for it.
There was a pleasing lack of snobbery as well. Like, I think one of them moans about having to get the ferry.
Yeah.
But Carrie in particular, you know, we criticise Carrie a lot on this podcast, spoilers, but actually I quite liked Carrie's willingness to embrace that. You know, the fact she even accepted a gig judging a stripping fireman contest is iconic.
At like a NAF club on Staten Island.
We'll say, why couldn't they do this in Manhattan? They have firemen and they only put out the really top-notch fires.
Yeah, she sort of makes fun of Charlotte a bit, doesn't she?
Yeah. And like later on, as we progress, obviously we see them experiencing like real snobbery around, even around Brooklyn, which is hilarious now. You know, I quite like the fact that they get the ferry and have a super lowbrow night out. And I think when I lived in London, you know, for all the things I used to do, I used to love going for a night out at the Two Brewers.
That's the thing, yeah. I think that's why I loved it so much, because those are always the best nights when you're dancing.
Like who wants to go to some like pretentious art house nonsense when you could just go and dance to Girls Aloud with your friends?
Yeah. Oh my god, so me and my friend James are obsessed with this scene, are obsessed with Sex and the City, and also particularly obsessed with this scene. And one night we were drinking and decided to put on this episode and danced around his living room to Toot Toot Beep Beep. and then got straight in a cab and went to Dollar Baby in East London. And as we walked in, the first song they played was Toot Toot Beep Beep. And honestly, honestly, we both just looked at each other and I thought I was going to collapse with happiness. Like, it was so good.
Oh, I miss big nights out.
Yeah, me too.
We'll dance again.
Yeah, and I was going to say, because I was thinking the same when I watched it. And I was going to say, actually, would really recommend, obviously, regulations permitting, next time you're in, like, a friend's living room, perhaps after a small dinner party or something, whack on some music and, like, have a dance, because it really helps.
Do you know, I hadn't thought of that. I've not been dancing since, do you know, I can't even remember. I cannot remember the last time I danced. How depressing is that?
Mm.
So let's come on to, I guess, Charlotte's question. So I love the hungover scene as well. I mean, the phrase, my hair hurts. Has anything ever been more pitiful? Carrie posits, what's the appeal of firemen? You know, why are we so attracted to firemen?
Yeah.
Wisely avoiding conversations around policemen, which is slightly more problematic in the year 2020.
Yeah. But it's also because, I mean, this is quite judgmental of me. I've always wondered about the kind of psyche it takes to think, I really want to be a police person. That's the thing. I see what you mean.
Well, firemen, however, are less morally ambiguous.
Yeah.
Because they're not telling people what to do other than get out of the burning building, yeah. Which feels reasonable. which prompts Charlotte to ask, oh, women just want to be rescued. And they all look horrified because then this kind of leads us down like a fairy tale path. Obviously, girls grow up on stories where women are rescued. You know, yeah. Rapunzel waits in a locked room, you know, just growing her hair. I mean, and Disney has had to evolve now. Disney has recognized, you know, they can't just tell stories about girls who wait to be rescued. And Carrie herself says eventually would Snow White have coughed up the apple and just got on with her life, kind of. What do we think? Do women need to be rescued?
Well, my cis male opinion of this is I was actually having a conversation with my mum about this, not about like the specific Sex and the City question, but about this question in general. And she is certainly a feminist, and she said she was talking about her current partner, who at the time was quite a new partner when we were talking about this, and she said that he kind of treats her like, buys her really nice things and takes her out for dinner and stuff. And she said her feminist side kind of hates herself a bit for that, for being the sort of, in inverted commas, girl who gets taken out for dinner and stuff. But she also said that she thinks that true feminism is realizing that if you want to be the girl, then that's fine as well.
I think in my mind, it's not about wanting to be rescued. And again, I can only speak from personal experience, but I have always been attracted to men who have their shit together.
Mm.
As you are well aware, Max, my partner, and I just got back from what was supposed to be our honeymoon in Santorini. Obviously, we had to postpone our wedding, so it was just a holiday. And and what was interesting is the gay couple who ran the beautiful, beautiful villa we were staying in, look up the Demeter Cave House in Santorini. I will absolutely give them a shout out, because if you are a couple who want a really, really relaxing stay in a very beautiful part of the world, I just cannot recommend it enough. Mm. It's run by a gay couple called Andrew and Marcel. And they said to Max, they only met us a couple of times, it's like, oh, you seem to be like Juno's rock. And I think there's something to that, in that I am dramatic and histrionic. You know, I panic. I have terrible anxiety. Whereas Max is so calm and steady. I, as I've said before on this podcast, I earn more than Max. So I wasn't looking to be rescued by a man. Like, I earn a fuck ton of money. I own my own house. I drive my own car. I have my own dog. Like, the rocks on my hands, I got it. The shoes on my feet, I got it. So I didn't need that kind of rescuing. So I suppose what I needed was somebody who complimented me. I didn't need rescuing. I needed somebody who kind of balanced out my sort of features.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Max rescues me, but he certainly compliments me. I just think we're compatible.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't need a man to come along and sweep me off my feet or you know, protect me. And I say that even as a trans woman, bing, bong, bing.
Trans corner. You know,
I was aware that I was vulnerable as a trans woman, but what I needed was my friends to have my back.
Yeah.
I didn't, because actually the person I needed defending from, by and large, were the men I was dating. The only trouble I ever got into was with some dodgy men that I went on bad dates with. So actually the last thing I needed was a white knight, because actually it was the men in my life who were the threat.
Yeah,
and that feels like a good place to take a little break.
Yeah.
So we'll now follow a word from our sponsor. See you in a sec.
Bye.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. We are in the midst of discussing season 3, episode 1, Where There's Smoke, and in particular, whether women need rescuing. Do they need white knights? And Charlotte ends up with an absolute psychopath.
I did not like him at all.
No, the actor, I googled him as well. He's gone on to do a whole bunch of stuff. He is a very prolific TV actor.
That's interesting, because I thought I felt like I recognised him.
Guy called Brad Bayer. Not on social media, but he's been in all sorts.
So Charlotte, how does she meet? He's like a friend of a friend or something, isn't he?
No, he rescues her from JJ.
Oh my God. Do you know what? I love JJ.
Yes, who we see again. He makes another couple of appearances. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love how, like, so Carrie and Charlotte are just having some cocktails, and this sleazy guy JJ shows up and says, like, oh, hey, sweet lips or something. And Carrie's just like, oh my God. and then a dashing blonde man drives him away and punches him, and Charlotte loves it.
But Charlotte is like an oracle in this episode, because of course, while pissed off her tits on the Staten Island ferry, she screams to Manhattan, I'm getting married this year.
Oh yeah.
She's like Cassandra.
Yeah.
She sees what's about to come, because of course, in the next couple of weeks, we meet Trey McDougal.
Oh my God, that's true. God, this is such a good season, isn't it? Season 3.
Oh, by this point, it had absolutely figured out the formula. I always think that season 2 and 3 of any long-running show is the, like, imperial phase where it just smashes it. And I think for Sex and the City in particular, seasons 2, 3, 4, it's nearly all killer, no filler at this point.
Yeah, that's the golden era, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I just barked, sorry.
Oh, that's attractive. Let's talk about John Slattery, who is now better known, I guess, for Mad Men. I think he does a lot with his 2-episode story arc. He's back next week as well. What's really terrifying and prescient is that Carrie doesn't vote. She's never voted.
Carrie doesn't vote. I'm actually not surprised Carrie hasn't voted because she...
Elaborate, Dylan.
I don't know. She just seems like she is a bit switched off from reality in some ways and very inward facing. It's similar to the fact that there's a lot of things she hasn't experienced, despite the fact she's a sex columnist. She's very caught up in her own world, I think. Also, to be fair to her, if politics was as divisive in the 90s as it is now, maybe she would be a voter.
This is true. I mean, this obviously was the Clinton years, I think. Or just, actually, no, I think we were heading into George W. Bush territory at this point.
Mm.
In fact, it would have, I think that would have been an election year, which is interesting because maybe that inspired this little plot line with Carrie dating a politician. Because again, this was all post Lewinsky as well. When Carrie said she hadn't voted, I was really interested in that and did wonder why, because it seems that feels quite Charlotte. I think Charlotte would be someone who couldn't quite get on board with Republican voting, so just doesn't vote. And of course, we need to remember that not voting is a political standpoint.
Yeah.
Being apolitical and allowing fascism to rise is political.
Samantha doesn't vote either.
She does like to say she doesn't vote. She doesn't believe in political parties. She just believes in parties.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is horrifying. Miranda, definitely a true blue Democrat.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
She's an original nasty woman, is Miranda.
Absolutely. I have no time anymore for like political satire and like memes and stuff on social media. It's not funny. It's a matter of life and death.
It's people's lives. Yeah. And I think, you know, my mum, my dad, my sister all live in the north of England in an area at the moment that's been really, really badly affected by COVID, but also nobody's doing anything to help them.
Yeah,
you know, the rules up there don't make any sense, and you know, it's really frustrating. Like, I spoke to my dad the other night, and honestly, he doesn't know what the rules are, and I didn't know either.
Crazy.
So it's again that, you know, if you don't believe there's a north-south divide in this country, you're kidding yourselves, you know. And you know, if COVID rates were as high in Surrey, you can bet the government would be helping more. So
I like John Slattery.
He is such a good actor.
Yeah.
He is always good in everything.
Yeah, I fancy the character as well. His charms would have totally won me over.
Yeah, and it's interesting in that there's elements of big to him, elements of Mr. Biggish confidence to him, but a much softer side as well and a vulnerability.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's a shame he fucks it up next week. I don't want to spoil next week, but
I just remembered what
happened. He just kind of fuck it up.
I just remembered what happens. Amazing.
Yeah, we'll talk about Watergate, literally water sports gate next week. But it's a shame. And then in our last plot thread, we have Miranda and Steve. It's back on.
Yeah, this was nice. I don't really have much to say about this because like it was just kind of, yeah, further cementing their relationship, wasn't it?
I'm really pleased that Steve is back because in the last episode of season two, they have that one night stand and it's left very much unanswered. And so I really like that when Miranda has her laser eye surgery and sees clearly for the first time, she's able to see the kind of support that Steve can give her. And it's not, again, that he's a white knight. He's just one of the good guys.
Yeah.
And I am pleased and delighted that they spoke to David Eigenbird's agent and they got his contract sorted and he's back.
Yeah. Oh, this was something else I was going to say about why this is, I think, my favourite episode, definitely one of my favourites, is every actor in it is on top form. All of them, like all four ladies and John Slattery and David Eigenberg, they're all just like great for the whole thing.
And it is, and again, it's when you watch episodes like this where the chemistry is so good.
Yeah.
That again, it is really depressing when we learn they weren't friends.
Yeah.
Or that, depending on whose version of events you hear, that Sarah Jessica Parker was quite cold to the other three.
Yeah.
I've been reading around it a lot, and you know, I think Kim Cattrall clearly has some sort of PTSD from her time on Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And does kind of regard it as being a very toxic environment in which she was very unhappy. When you read, so I've got the two companion guides. There was an official licensed book called Sex and the City.
Oh.
And then another licensed one about the film, the first film.
Oh, wow.
So let's assume that Kim Cattrall does not like Sarah Jessica Parker.
Mm.
So perhaps it's more interesting to read the accounts of the other two, from Kristen Davis and Cynthia Nixon, and to listen to them talk about their dynamic with Sarah Jessica Parker. And they speak highly of her talent. They speak of her as a visionary and as a leader. And they talk about her in very respectful fashion, but not in an affectionate fashion.
Right, yeah.
At one point, Kristen Davis says, "Oh, Sarah Jessica Parker complimented me on my shoes." And you're like, wow, that's fucking cold.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if Sarah Jessica Parker, given that she was the executive producer of this show, given that she was in a position of authority on the show, if there was a distance between Sarah Jessica Parker and the rest of the cast. You have to wonder, and that there's only really those four women and Michael Patrick King and Darren Star who would know. I like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but perhaps Sarah Jessica Parker was just very professional and sort of kept sort of like a professional distance.
I can picture that, actually. Yeah. And also, particularly if the other three want to like chat and have a good time and she's not. Anyway, this is pure conjecture.
I mean, if you are Kim Cattrall, Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, or Kristen Davis, and would love to come on and tell us the truth. Just, I mean, God, the oral history. Someone one day will write the most compelling oral history.
Just
of
DM us,
City,
but DM us on Twitter, and we might have a space for you. If
please, I mean, slide into our DMs. I mean, if you were an insider on Sex and the City and have any tea whatsoever,
oh God, yeah.
By all means, slide into our DMs. And we will keep it anonymous.
I wrote down a Charlotte quote, which was actual Charlotte being woke Charlotte. And when Samantha was talking about her firefighter fantasy. And Charlotte said, "It's wrong to sleep with a man just to fulfill a certain fantasy," which could be seen as Charlotte discouraging fetishization.
Well done, work Charlotte. Actual work Charlotte. Yeah. I love it. I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
Staten Island had more women of colour than Manhattan,
yeah.
I'm delighted to say. But none of them spoke or had any pivotal role to play.
No.
Disappointing.
Sadly.
Also go on, Dylan.
Another amazing quote that I wrote down, which really made me laugh at the end, was Carrie saying when John Slattery turns up to save her when she misses the Staten Island ferry, the voiceover says, "He didn't have a white horse, but he did have a BMW with a working heater."
There you go. It's all you need. And do you know what person would refuse that lift when push came to shove?
Yeah.
And obviously there was a little nod to Staten Island Fairy Tale as well, which was a film that Sarah Jessica Parker had previously been in.
Oh, didn't know that.
The little nugget for keen-eyed viewers. But this was a brilliant first episode back. To answer Carrie's question, of course women don't want to be rescued. Sometimes it's nice. It's nice sometimes, you know, as women, it's hard work. It is lovely if a man will take some of that burden off you.
Yeah.
It's not about being rescued or put on a pedestal or wrapped in cotton wool. It's just nice when a man makes it a bit easier.
Yeah.
And that feels like a nice and positive note to end on.
Yeah, lovely.
Shall we briefly, briefly before we go talk about Emily in Paris?
Yes.
Have you watched Emily in Paris yet, Dylan?
No, my mum has, and she says that I'd really like it.
I've not heard good things. So maybe that could be a little bit of homework for next week,
okay.
Which is to... So obviously the reason we're discussing Emily in Paris is because Darren Star has dusted down his old Sex and the City box and kind of retold it for the 21st century. But instead of a sex columnist in New York, it's an Instagram influencer in Paris.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
as played by the pariah of film and television, Lily Collins, yeah, who anything she touches turns to disaster. Yeah. I can't wait to see. It's interesting. I mean, obviously her dad is Phil Collins, but like, it's interesting to see how many chances she has had as a performer. Mm. You know, a franchise like the Mortal Instruments franchise, you know, it would be quite hard to get that wrong, and yet she killed that.
There was that Snow White film as well, wasn't there?
She killed that, yeah.
I can't remember what else she's been.
That film about anorexia on Netflix, that got really bad reviews as well. So yeah, she's quite a cursed actress. So I'm interested. I will go into Emily in Paris with an open mind.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for joining us back on So I Got to Thinking for a third time round. This season, we're going to be back with some amazing guests as well. So stay tuned for some amazing cameos from our friends and colleagues as well. Until next time, do follow us at SIGTT Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Juno Dawson.
I'm at Dylan B. Jones, LDM.
And Will. be sure to like and subscribe and tell all your friends. And yeah, let's take over the world.
Bye.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.